from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, one of San Francisco's most iconic thoroughfares, Market Street, is going car-free. So what will it mean for residents, commuters, and businesses? We take a look. And you may know Aarti Shahani as NPR's correspondent covering Silicon Valley, but you probably didn't know that the Harvard grad grew up in a roach-infested apartment in Queens, New York, and that her father was once imprisoned at Rikers Island. Her new memoir, Here We Are, chronicles the Shahani family's American dream and American nightmare. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, sitting in today for Michael Krasny. San Francisco's Municipal Transportation Agency Board voted unanimously last week to ban private cars on a section of Market Street. The plan, a decade in the making, has wide support in the city, but what will it truly mean for residents, commuters, downtown businesses? We look at the plan for Market Street in this half-hour Forum, and joining us is KQED's editor and reporter Dan Brecky. Hi, Dan Brecky.
Hi, Mina Kim.
And when I say that there is widespread support, even when we at Forum just put out the request for your thoughts on the plan, we immediately got Carol Ann saying, anything is worth a try. I say go for it. And Tahir writes, we can always change our minds back later. Let's do this. And Ian tweets, my partner and I once walked a carless Market Street. It was a beautiful day. Making it walkable year-round would be a great idea. So, Dan, where exactly will this two-mile stretch on Market Street begin and end?
Well, it's the busiest and most familiar part of Market, probably, for most people. It starts on the west end at Octavia Boulevard, and then it will go to the northeast following our famous Market Street diagonal all the way up to Justin Herman Plaza and Stewart Street. So that's 2.2 miles. And, you know, it's actually a lot more than just making it carless or making it pedestrian-friendly or cycling-friendly. I mean, this is a complete makeover for the street over a period of years. And actually, we're probably talking about many years. But we're going to start seeing changes as early as January.
Can you be more specific on many years?
Well, it's a phased project. This is a very expensive undertaking. The city plans to spend, they say right now, $600 million on this. They've only lined up about $140 million, and that will pay for the first two-plus phases of construction. The first phase will be what they call a quick-build project to actually ban private cars from Market Street, from roughly Octavia to Stewart Street, beginning in January. That's really a matter of just signage, but it's going to be and painting pavement, stuff like that. But it's going to be a bit time consuming, and it'll take about $3 million to do that piece of it. And then the really serious work begins. Design is still going on, and construction should begin in 2021 on the first phase of the project, which will be between 5th Street and 8th Street, sort of the toughest, grittiest part of Mid-Market. And then once that piece is finished, which will include a turn-back loop for the historic F-Line streetcars so they can run more frequently in the downtown core and out to Fisherman's Wharf, that'll take us to 2025 when that's all finished.
Hmm. But it sounds like you're saying this is unfunded at this point. Do you think it will happen?
Well, it will happen. One thing that I don't think is generally recognized is that when almost any agency takes on a big public works project like this, they have to go searching for money in all sorts of different buckets. So there's city bond measures that will be employed here. There could be funds from the state through the gas tax increase, federal funds. It will come together, but it's going to be a work of years to make all that funding come together.
And when we say car-free, we mean private cars, but certainly there will be vehicles on Market Street.
Yes, there will be vehicles. So Market Street will be dedicated mostly to transit. There will be a Muni bus lane for the entire length of this area we're talking about, from Octavia to Stewart. AC Transit will be on the street. There's been some talk about having other transit agencies that could have access. There will also be access for commercial delivery vehicles and for paratransit and for taxis. Interestingly, the Uber and Lyft services, mm-hmm. which have come to dominate that sort of personal transportation, will not be allowed on this stretch of Market Street.
Well, Steve writes about that. He says people like ride-hailing more than taxis. Ride-hailing cars should have access to Market Street, too.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised to hear somebody voice that. And what will happen is there will be loading zones on the side streets. This is something that's been tried, for instance, voluntarily by Lyft in the Valencia corridor. And there will be loading zones on the side streets. So if you want to get your Lyft or Uber car, you'll have to meet them, for instance, probably around the corner on 7th Street if you're on the south side of Market, or on Hyde or Leavenworth or McAllister, and all those other streets that radiate off of the north side of Market Street. But going up and down Market Street in a ride-hailing car, not going to happen. And one of the reasons for that, actually, just to peel that back a bit, is because the city has determined pretty firmly through statistical analysis that ride-hailing cars in the core of the city are really one of the biggest problems we have with congestion.
Well, let me invite our listeners, other listeners, to weigh in as well with their questions for Dan Brecke about what Market Street will look like when all is said and done with this plan. And any questions you have about the process of getting the project done and how it might impact you, 866-733-6786 is the number to call. Again, 866-733-6786. Post your comments on our website, Facebook, Twitter, or email us at forum@kqed.org. And Thomas writes, it's a clever way to reduce ride-hailing in favor of public transit, but it's also sure to create gridlock as cable cars and other above-ground trolleys get stuck behind cars trying to cross the street. Will this have unintended consequences, like more gridlock elsewhere, Dan?
Well, you know, I suppose the real answer to that is we'll have to see.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do anything major like this without having some impact somewhere. And it ought to be noted that, I mean, I've skipped over a couple of things that are really important parts of this plan. Remaking Market Street, which I characterized it this project as before, means actually creating much better, much more uniform and controlled and logical access for bicyclists, for instance. Market Street has become a major bicycling boulevard. That's an evolution that goes back over this decade and beyond, and is really a striking change. So that's going to be an encouragement for people to use that mode of transportation, and other things that we're seeing still being introduced. Don't be surprised when you see lots and lots of scooters, for instance, in those same bike lanes that are being created to ease access on Market Street. Parallel to Market Street, there are also projects going on. For instance, on Folsom and Howard, the parallel corridor south of Market, those streets are going to be remade in that same south of Market area, parallel to Market Street, in a way that's going to make them much more friendly for pedestrians and bicyclists. So there is a squeeze, I suppose you could say, on private vehicle traffic, and that's deliberate. I mean, the city really wants to move, you know, because of its climate change goals, mm-hmm. and because it has a long-term transit-first policy to try to get people out of their cars. And, of course, we're also going to see maybe the city is seriously studying this right now, the introduction of congestion pricing. So if you even want to drive anywhere in this downtown core, it may cost you.
Yes. Well, let me go next to Steve in Oakland. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
I'm from San Francisco. I drive on Market for brief periods to get on to Franklin, to get down, down Van Ness and over to Valencia. I might jump on the Market for a short while. I use at 2nd Street. I get on Market for a short trip. How do you handle that?
And are you a ride-hailing driver, Steve?
Yes, I'm also a Lyft driver.
You know, I'm not really envisioning your trips, but, you know, it will be possible to cross Market at all those points. And, I mean, if it's just a matter of crossing Market, that will still be possible at most points. There are a couple places where there are going to be sort of connecting street closures, but most of those cross Market routes are still going to be open. So, for instance, if you're coming north on 9th Street, you'll be able to continue across to Hyde and Larkin.
Well, Steve, thanks for the question. This listener asks, I'm wondering how they practically plan to keep private cars off of Market Street. Are they going to have more police officers, hand out tickets? Is there going to be a physical barrier or cameras? Enforcement?
Well, I don't think there will be, a posse waiting for people to blunder onto the street. But there will be enforcement, and it will be a traffic infraction to drive a private car on that stretch of Market Street.
Well, let me go next to Tony in Berkeley. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about disabled access. Paratransit's a nice idea. It's not effective for a lot of people. You have to schedule it far in advance. You have to wait long times to get it coming and going. If people can't drive their own vehicles, or for people who can't drive but can use a ride-hailing service, you're basically closing Market Street access to them. This just has a hugely disparate impact for disabled and elderly people.
You know, that point has been raised, and I think the answer to it so far has been where these drop-off points will be, we'll get you right to a corner on Market Street, maybe not right in front of an address. But you're probably right. This is going to have an impact on people. Another thing that's happening is there are going to be a bunch of bus stops removed. And the length between bus stops is going to be changed from 1,000 feet on average, I think, to 2,000 feet. So, you know, there are some folks who may have difficulty walking, and the city is actually going to have to probably consider this or reconsider this in its design work to implement all this stuff, because there are some people who that will be a hardship for.
Yeah, it will be prohibitive. And as people are aging, it will be more prohibitive for more people.
Tony, thanks for raising that point. John writes, yet again, San Francisco is giving militant bicyclists everything. It is already very dangerous walking on Market with bicyclists who do not stop at lights or crosswalks. Cars are not the biggest threat to pedestrian safety. Bicycles are. Dan, certainly the San Francisco Bike Coalition was very supportive of this. Can you talk about their role and also John's frustration with cyclists?
Well, you know, I think pedestrian I don't want to go too deep into this. I think there's been a culture war between cyclists and pedestrians and then car drivers after the invention of the car ever since the first bicycle rolled out. We're not going to solve that. There are some very thoughtful design elements here, though, to separate cyclist and pedestrian traffic. And, you know, Mina, you and I were talking about this, the need for perhaps better intersection control so that everybody can take their turn. Now, this is something that can be implemented. It's being implemented along the Folsom and Howard Street corridor over the next few years, where you actually have a signal system that will phase cycling traffic with pedestrian and vehicle traffic. So I have a feeling that that's one of the solutions to this. But a lot of it comes back, as I said, to culture. I guess this isn't such a repertorial thing to say, but we all need to give each other a break.
Well, this decision by the MTA board was a unanimous decision. This has enjoyed citywide support. I read a couple of supportive comments at the top, but we're hearing a lot of criticism from our listeners and a lot of concern. So how does this square with where our city leaders are with this? Are they sort of misreading the public here?
Well, I wish I could give you a definitive answer to that. Listen, this, as you noted at the top, this plan has gestated for a really long time. And, you know, when you look at life on the streets here in San Francisco, and what I mean is transportation life, what's happened in downtown San Francisco, south of Market, and even a bit to the west, there's been a sort of a revolutionary change in how people are getting around in the last decade. The city has done things to make it safer and more convenient for cyclists, and cyclists have sort of taken the invitation to go into the streets. Is the result perfect? No. But it is an encouragement to sort of continue on that path. And, you know, we have to sort of acknowledge that everything we do transportation-wise, our choices about whether to drive a private vehicle or take transit, actually does fit into this larger overall picture of, you know, how we're affecting climate, you know, our energy consumption, which, of course, is part of the climate question. And I think the city is pretty firmly committed, and the city leaders are very firmly committed to trying to be at the leading edge of solutions that are less impactful on climate and probably more friendly toward people in general.
And again, Dan Brecky is editor and reporter at KQED News. He covers transit for us as well. So then, have you touched on the impetus for this? Pedestrian safety, climate, incentivizing transit, de-incentivizing cars. I mean, is that really what's behind all of this?
Yeah, and listen, the city has a project, a program called Vision Zero, right? This was announced by the Ed Lee administration in 2014, a 10-year program with an aim to get traffic fatalities in the city to zero. It's not unique to San Francisco. Other jurisdictions are trying this. And, you know, we've had a spike in pedestrian fatalities this year. And so street safety is a huge part of what's going on here. And that's another very strong commitment on the part of city leaders.
Well, let me go next to Monty in Oakland. Hi, Monty.
Hi. I'm not actually in Oakland. I'm in San Francisco. I'm a gig worker that picks up food from restaurants and delivers it to offices and homes. And several popular restaurants are on Market Street, and I'm wondering how in the hell anybody's going to pick anything up. It's already a nightmare doing it, picking up anything at any restaurant where there's no parking that's legal for anyone, even though it's only 5 minutes that we need it. So I'm wondering, can I even cross Market from south of Market to the financial district or not?
Yeah, most of those crossings are still going to be open. There is a provision in this to increase the amount of commercial loading space and actually make it more accessible. I guess the question I would have in your case.
I'm glad you said that because I am in a regular car. I don't have access to commercial parking spaces. There are already more commercial parking spaces than I think they need, and very few spaces that a passenger car can pull up and take off.
Well, what I was starting to say is, you're raising an interesting point that I don't have the answer to, which is whether somebody in your situation driving a private car with private license plates instead of commercial license plates will have access. And I think the answer has been in the past, for instance, in using a yellow zone, you're good if you have a commercial license plate. Of course, the downside to that is those are much more expensive.
Well, Monty, thanks for raising that point. And Barbara writes, Dan, the result will be that cars will be funneled onto Mission Street. How does that help? And then Jessica writes, what about the scooters? I got hit walking down Market by someone on an electric scooter. And then this listener asks, do they plan to work with Google Maps, Uber, and Lyft to get them to program around Market Street? I'm sure that's probably already
And Waze.
It works.
Good questions and something for me to investigate.
Well, and just the ripple effect of this, though, I'm sure those companies
Listen, there is, somebody mentioned Mission Street. Yes, that has been raised as a concern. And I'm sure people will be interested to know that there was one Streets blog columnist who wrote a really good piece about what's missing from the Better Market Street plan. And one suggestion that this person made was that there ought to be protected bike lanes installed immediately on Mission Street. Now, of course, if you're driving a car, that's another squeeze.
Well, let me go to Dan in San Francisco. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Well, go ahead.
It seems strange that they would close it from Octavia, Market Street from Octavia to Franklin, because basically from anyone who lives in south of Market, up near Noe Valley, the Castro, Excelsior, all that area would funnel their way from Dolores onto Market, above Octavia, to get down Market to the main, which is the main pathway to Franklin to get north. So how are they going to deal with all that, all those cars? I mean, I've been living in Noe Valley for 20 years. That's like a main pathway till to north of the north part of the city.
Dan, Brecky.
Well, I'm going to have to admit that, you know, I don't drive very much in the city, and I wish I could give a really expert veteran answer on that. And I don't have a good traffic engineering insight into this. So honestly, it's probably going to be some kind of engineering fix in terms of signaling, but I don't really have an answer for you.
And it just underscores what you were saying earlier about the consequences, more gridlock elsewhere. What will we see? Will they be able to think ahead to try to address where those areas could be? Or ultimately, will it just be so uninviting to drive as a result of this that it will work to get people out of their cars? Tricia writes, city leaders are pandering to radicals. What about the effect on businesses? You're increasing pollution by removing parking and streets for cars as cars drive round and round and ride hailing abounds. Michael writes, this idea is all kinds of bad. Transit malls are an old, tried and failed idea that killed many cities' commercial districts in the 1970s. Many were reversed. This one targets downtown merchants already on the ropes because of online commerce. I mean, there are previous examples, though, that have been successful.
There are examples that have been successful, and, you know, Market Street has always been sort of a laboratory for experimentation from the very time it was created in the 1840s. You know, it's 120 feet wide, and there's a legend that the designer of the street was threatened with hanging because he had taken private property from both sides to create this huge wide right-of-way. Well, people love the wide right-of-way now. In terms of you know, where we're going to go with this in the future, listen, the people behind this plan, including business interests along Market Street, feel like this is a great investment that could really, you know, turn the avenue, turn the boulevard into something robust and full of life for decades to come.
Well, and I think it's safe to say this is a pretty dramatic thing to do, and there are a lot of questions that remain. Dan Brecky, editor and reporter for KQED News, thanks for talking with us this morning and for your historical knowledge.
You're welcome.
And thanks to our listeners for their questions and comments. We'll have a half hour with Aarti Shahani next of NPR, so stay with us for that.